Speaking of children, Helen Connolly is the South Australian Commissioner for Children and Young People. Welcome to the show again, Helen.
Good evening, Peter.
This, I'm despairing about this, the lack of young people registering to vote once they're 18. This is a worry, Helen.
I think it's a worry. And one that I don't think we're not having the conversation about, really, are we?
No, we're not. Now, the statistic, really, in the last state election, 18 to 24-year-olds had the lowest enrolment figures and the lowest participation rate of all age groups. And they also reported the lowest levels of confidence about completing their ballots. Where are we failing the young here, Helen?
Well, and I think it is we as adults who are failing them. Mm-hmm. I think it's our job through education and through everything else to ensure that they, you know how to be citizens and engage with democracy and all those things that we want them to do other than just learning how to read and write at school.
Yes.
So I think it's about confidence and knowledge and skills that we obviously, by the time they've gone through 12 years of schooling, they haven't got.
Right.
So we can't be doing it right.
So where are the civics that they're learning at school? They're not getting enough of that.
I think, look, they do get civics and citizenship as part of the curriculum, and it is measured. So, like, we have the NAPLAN, which does the whole language and numeracy. Mm-hmm. We have a NAPCC, which is NAP Civics and Citizenship, and that, I think, the last figures in 2019 said that at year 10 level, we had 60% not proficient in their civics and citizenship. So, you know, like less than 40% who would be at a standard deemed proficient by those scores. So that's telling us something. This is pretty much national low figures, but in South Australia, ours are lower. So we clearly, you know, I think we've had such a, because they've talked about crowded curriculum for a long time, and I think maybe it's the civics and citizenship that's gone out of favour. I think there was a sense that maybe, you know, teaching kids about this was political, and I think there was a real fear from educators around being overtly political.
Yes.
And over time, it's just kind of, I think, assume that someone else might do it. And then what we end up with is kids who I speak to, and particularly last year I did a really big piece of work with Year 12s, and I found two kids that I spoke to who'd actually learnt about needing to enrol and then voting at school.
Why? See, part of it is the mechanism of having to enrol for vote. Now, we saw this years ago. I remember Natasha Stott-Despoja, when she was a senator, raised this. She was horrified that the then Howard government had closed off the polls very, very early. And Natasha thought that was a deliberate way of stopping young people from voting. They had to be, you know, register well in advance or not be eligible to vote because, you know, the Howard government seemed to be fearful of the young vote. That's not so much the case now. I don't know when the cutoff is for enrolling.
It's still not very, like, I think it's 6 days after the writs.
Yes.
I think last year there was going to be a bill, there was a proposed bill that was going to put it to 2 days. That didn't happen. But I think the whole two-stage process, I think what we've got to now is we've had a change in the way we do everything. When all these rules came in, no one could order their food online. Simplicity of life.
Yes.
And now we've got this kind of cumbersome process.
But why can't you? I mean, you know, with algorithms, everybody know, you know, everything about you is known. You know, I get a weekly report from my supermarket, which tells me what I've been buying. Now, you know, so they know everything about us. Why doesn't the government know that a person is 18 and immediately register them to vote? What's wrong with that?
Well, there's either that, but in what they did in New Zealand, so I think this 18-year-old voting has happened around the world, and what they've said is we need to change this. Mm. What they did in New Zealand was they said you can vote and you can enrol on the day of voting.
Great idea.
So you just get your vote, it gets put aside, they do the check that you're legit, and then they count your vote
that's
after that.
That's a great idea.
That's what we need to do.
New Zealand has very many sophisticated ideas, which shame us.
Well, and what happened was they had a big bounce in the number of kids who enrolled then. I think we would see the same thing here.
It's clumsy because you've got to actually apply to vote, which is compulsory. That's the weird thing. It's not you're registering. You're not registering to vote because you want to. You're registering to vote because you have to.
Absolutely. So then it would get around the kind of mandatory enrolment where someone did it for you. I think it would be, it's still good to kind of go through the process of participating, but actually taking out these barriers is a really important part of it.
There is a mechanism for young people aged 16 or 17 to pre-enroll. But young people are unaware of this?
Yeah, they just don't know.
I mean,
there are switched on kids. I mean, I think what we have to say is there's a number of young people who can't wait to vote.
That's right.
And a bit like they can't wait to drive. They turn 16, they get everything.
Isn't it a rite of passage? You know, you're 18, you can drink alcohol and you can vote, and you can also be killed for your country.
Yeah. It is such a rite of passage anymore. I think that part of it has maybe gone off a bit because it's not frequent. And when we're in such a fast-paced society, things are happening all the time, then this four-year or three-year cycle is quite a long time. And so the difference between a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old is quite a lot as well. So at 15, unlikely to be thinking about, oh, next time there's an election, I'm going to be voting. So I don't think it has the same currency as
but
it did.
I don't get the argument that there's nothing in it for us. You know, they're not talking to us, they're not our issues. But, you know, because... And why can't teachers or families say, look, to me, you see, if you don't vote, you've got nothing to complain about.
Yeah, I think in some families, politics is just something, it's taboo. You don't talk about it. There are lots where it creates conflict. I mean, it's still one of those things where it does create conflict. And, you know, it's around certain dinner tables. It's not the way to bring people together. I think in my family, it's, you know, we're quite political, but I think we're quite divided as well. So I think there are different ways that people engage with politics. And so that's why people steer away from it. So it's not everydayness. I just think that I think that whole not what's in it, they can't see themselves represented, does play into it. I do think they think, well, there's a whole bunch of people that don't look like
they're
us.
They're switched on about climate change, which is certainly my experience with the young. So why aren't they voting, you know, with their feet for that?
I think one of the things they'd be looking at is saying, well, who has got some policies, strong policies on climate change? I think their climate change response for many of the kids we talked to is very local. It's around local recycling at school. It's about, is the oval being watered? It's about bushfires and evacuation plans. It's very much that kind of... that's where they see it.
Is it a reflection of what we're all feeling, Helen? A kind of powerlessness. No matter who gets in, we're screwed. And, there is that. Troy's nodding his head, a producer, through the glass wall. Also, politics has changed. You know, we have two centrist parties, essentially, fighting for the same ground. And, if I had an 18-year-old, I'd find it difficult to recommend the difference between parties. It becomes increasingly clouded, doesn't it?
It does, but it's also, that's kind of the good part of it as well, that we're not extreme. So we don't have those polarising kind of extreme
But
views.
Then an election campaign, and we've had just nearly 6 weeks of an election campaign, which does highlight the differences between major parties. But it's this, we're all screwed, whoever gets in, is why we've got the teal candidates, why we've got all these independents.
But when you look at the campaigns that are, have been had or the material that's out there, none of it is youth-focused. It's not talking to them, is it? Like, really, it is very... it's also not talking to the kind of subgroups within the young people as well.
This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. See, a lot of it is aged-focused. Mm. You know, what are we going to do for the aged? But politicians know that the young don't vote, and they're not encouraging the young to vote. Where are the campaigns?
Well, and we need, and which is why you hop back to Natasha when she came in. There was very much a youthful kind of view to it. I think we had a forum last Friday, and I had 130 kids, and we invited MPs in to meet with kids, not political, sit around the tables, listen to them about what they're talking about. And so there was a lot of the Olivia Savas, perfectly, you know, 25-year-olds. You could see the kids really engaging with people who understood what life was like in the 21st century as a kid. So we do, we can break some of these things. We're not going to change it in one campaign, but we need to have more civics and citizenship education. We need to have younger kind of people being represented, and we need them to be talking the language that kids understand.
Lee's saying, aren't the Greens trying to talk to the young voters? That's a fair comment. Another text is pretty simple. The politicians need to do more to inspire young people to enroll to vote. The way our current politicians behave is completely out of touch with the interests and culture of young Australians. Frank's saying, I think the sorry lack of statesmanship and leadership in politics plays a large role in youth disillusionment with politics. But someone else is saying it shouldn't be about creating mechanisms to make it easier for young people to enrol, because they have to by law. Let's inspire them to want to enrol in the first place. That's a good point.
And I don't think it's either or. I think it's, you know, yes and. We can do both of those things. I think we should definitely be trying to inspire kids to get involved and to see the leaders actually representing them. I did an interesting thing before the last election, this last state election, where we went out and we did some mock elections. So we took, the Electoral Commission gave us the booths, we went out and we did some work to kind of demystify it, that kids know what's going on, look at what the actual forms look like. Because there's this interesting phenomena as well, I think, with young people around being quite worried about the unknown. So when we kind of showed them what it was, so I think we had 10% of them went and enrolled after that. So that was just, so we were going to try and do it again this year, but COVID got in the way and we couldn't get into schools. But we've got to show kids, you know, you can't, you've got to see it, you've got to feel it, you've got to touch it, you've got to be inspired by it, all then, these things are part of the solution.
And then there's a certain nervousness, which we all felt, I'm sure, when we went into the polling booth for the first time, when we were 18 or 21, as it was a long time ago. You know, what do we do? Because, I mean, it is a little perilous, because you can't, you know, if you don't put the exact
talk
number...
Talk to anyone.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't put the exact number of... A number in each box for the House of Representatives, or, you know, you vote above the line, below the line, it is confusing. But then why can't teachers and parents say, well, this is the form, and, you know, you have to put a number in the green form in every box, and this is the Senate form, and you can, you know, and explain that. It's not that hard, is it?
No, but I think it is when you think about kids nowadays will, you know, if you want to know something, what do we all do? If we want to know how to do something, we go on YouTube and we watch a tutorial. That's how we learn how to put our makeup on, change a tyre, change, you know, whatever it is, you do YouTube tutorials. So why isn't there a YouTube tutorial on the actual nuts and bolts of it? So I think those kind of resources for kids are what's needed. Virtual kind of 360 tour of a booth. What does that look like?
Well, exactly. And Terry's saying a part of schooling should include voting, how to vote above, below the line, and how preferences work. Well, how preferences work, that's another story for another day. My daughter tried to insert her ballot paper down the gap around her cardboard voting booth. I felt like an ignorant parent. Oh, no.
But then they get so embarrassed, and that, you know, the kids, it is really tough for them. I think we don't make the actual experience very friendly either.
No, we don't.
Always feel a bit stupid, and it's just a very foreign thing, and because we don't do it that many times in our life.
No. And of course, I should say, this always comes up. It's not compulsory to vote. It's compulsory to attend. To attend to vote, and have your name crossed off. Yes, of course. This is a distinction, which of course. Mm. But to me, it's compulsory to vote because why would you bother going not to vote, for heaven's sake?
Yes.
And I love compulsory voting, and I'm all for it. And these kids are going to be fined, but of course, you have to enrol. You know, if you're not enrolled, then they can't fine you. Or they might eventually.
You can still be fined if you're not enrolled.
Oh, really? Well, they're going to get a fine,
sure.
These kids.
Mm. No, they might not get it this time, but certainly because of the linking between government payments and those kind of things, I'm pretty sure they know who you are.
Yes.
They've got your details. So
they can find
not enrol. I'm pretty confident that you don't have to enrol to be fined.
It's linked to the ATO.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no. And Centrelink and
Well, that's a very interesting conversation, Helen, and good luck. You do a great job as the Commissioner for Young People and Children in South Australia. Thank you for coming on, ma'am.
Thank you.
And Deb said